With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and was about to die. He was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and built the synagogue for us." Jesus went with them. And when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. Just say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes. To my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in all Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the most famous lines in all of sacred scripture we have in today's first reading: "God wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." In this short little passage of St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, we get these universals three times. God wants all to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the context in which he asks us literally to pray for everyone so that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. It was not an easy request when St. Paul was writing this letter to St. Timothy from a Roman prison cell, to be saying, "Pray for leaders and all those in authority." There was a madman who was Roman emperor at the time, Nero, who was about to murder a vast multitude of Christians for sport. But God willed even Nero to be saved. God wills everyone to be saved and to come to know truth incarnate. That's why at the end of this passage he says, "It's my wish that in every place people should pray lifting up holy hands without anger or argument." Prayers specifically for us to acknowledge who Christ is and let him do his thing. Today we see a beautiful example of answered prayers in this centurion, this pagan, not even a Jew. People were doubtless praying for him among the Jews, and he responded. And we see that at the very end of this passage, Jesus gives him the greatest compliment ever given to a man in sacred scripture, that he hadn't found in all of Israel faith like his, because of where that faith was coming from. Clearly, Our Lady's faith was greater. That would be perhaps the one exception. But he was coming from a different place than Our Lady. Our Lady had been breastfed on the sacred scriptures, raised in the temple, if you want to believe the pseudo-gospels. This was a man who hadn't received any of this, and yet he was able to make a remarkable testimony of faith to Jesus' power How was he able to do that? By a little bit of a strange approach. It was through his own authority that he began to appreciate God's authority. He used his authority well. He understood what power was, that he had the power to execute people on a whim, but he couldn't use it whimsically. He likewise recognized that his authority was meant to be one of service, and if he would use his position to do a kind deed for the Jews and build them a temple with the help of Roman money and Roman soldiers, then how much more would someone with a reputation of being truly good use his authority to do good? He also clearly recognized humility through his power. He was raised up to this position to say to men, go and come and do this, and have them immediately snap to attention. He recognized that that was not because of him, but because of what he represented. And so he was able to appreciate the humility, to have the humility, so that he was not demanding that Jesus do anything for him, even though the elders of the Jews said, he deserves to have you do this. It was through that approach of his own authority that he was able to appreciate the humble, powerful, serving authority that he saw in Jesus. Was able to command even the unseen, for which the centurion had a special openness that so many others didn't. And that's why Jesus was able to exclaim, not even in all of Israel have I found faith like this. To be great in faith is the reason why we're alive. It's a tremendous gift of the Lord. To the extent that we're in authority, we can approach the Lord with greater faith through that authority. To the fact that we're under authority, we can approach from that aspect of service, no matter what position we are in. It's an opportunity for us to be able to appreciate more deeply how the Lord wants to act. Today we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the canonization of somebody who really was great in faith. He wasn't appreciated by his family. His dad died when his mom was pregnant, and he was just one more mouth to feed. And he was really quite slow. Academically, there's probably never been somebody as intellectually challenged as Giuseppe Cupertino. His mom wanted him out, but he couldn't do anything. He couldn't even carry plates without getting distracted and breaking all the plates. So they said, well, he must have a vocation to be a Franciscan then. So he tried first. He had two uncles who were Franciscans. Again, total failure, even in the simplest tasks. So he went to the Capuchins. The Capuchins tried it out. Still didn't work there. Came back home, and his mom thought that he was a total failure, even in God. She interceded again and asked that he at least, even if he couldn't become a Franciscan, if he could just be cared for by the Franciscans, and they sent him to the stable. And that's where they began to recognize a little bit of his faith and his serenity and his gifts. Eventually, he was discovered by a bishop there in the stable, for whom Giuseppe, in all his stupidity, was able to solve, through his faith in the Lord, something that had vexed that bishop for a long time. That bishop worked for Giuseppe to study for the priesthood, which was absurd at the time. But he knew one passage. He knew one reality. He knew the love of Our Lady. And he had pondered Beatus Venter qui portavi so many times. Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. That on his exam for the diaconate, he was asked to comment on a passage of sacred scripture. If he'd received any other verse in sacred scripture, it was done. But they asked him, please comment on Beatus Venter qui portavit. And they had to stop him because he kept going on like a doctor of the church. Even after the priesthood, he was just a priest simplex without the capacity to preach, because they just didn't trust him. but he preached as a good Franciscan by his faith. When he started to levitate in the greatest examples in the hagiography of the church, even fly above princes and prelates to crucifixes that were high up, he was punished for these types of things as if he were a showman. And in all of it, he just took it in faith, took it humbly, and related it to the Lord. He is one of the saints who show us that we don't have to be smart, we don't have to be capable. In the final analysis, we just have to be faithful. Today, as we come forward, we echo the words of the centurion in today's gospel. We too are not worthy for the Lord to come under our roof. But the Lord's given us the gift of faith, which opens the